Now, I wanted to leave you with a message today. That wasn't it. That is your challenge. And last week, well, let me tell you what the message is for this week. The message this week is give praise. Give praise to God. This is our message this week, to give praise to God. Now, this is an obvious message for this week because we just had Thanksgiving a few days ago. And during that day, we are giving thanks, and quite often people will begin to think a little bit more about what they're thankful for, and even if they haven't thought about it much during the week, they will think about it usually at the Thanksgiving dinner. Quite often people will say what they're thankful for as they're sitting around the table, you know, as they're shoveling their mouth full of more food, and they can't feel like they're just going to blow because they've eaten so much, they're going to explode. They start to think about all the things they're thankful for. But beyond that, as I told you guys last week, I gave you a challenge. I said, start to go out and just be grateful and praising God. Did anybody do that last week? Did anybody go out and remember, oh yeah, I got to praise God? Did anybody praise God this week? Yeah, we got a couple people. Okay, good. Good. People were praising God. That's great. And did you notice it changed the situation? Because I told you, I said, if you praise God, it will change the situation. It will change the environment. Walls will come down and things will just break open for you and start to move forward. And that's what I was saying last week, is to go out there and praise. Well, I want to continue talking about giving praise, because as we're in this week of Thanksgiving, I want us not to forget that. I want you to go out again this week giving praise and giving thanks to God, praising God. You know, and as we do this, we will see that our whole life will begin to change. If you can get into the habit of praising God, you will rise, listen to this, you will rise to the highest heights possible that God has planned for you. And it can happen just through celebrating and praising God for how great He is. Now, we have an example of this too in the scriptures. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel, in the book of Samuel, and Samuel is a prophet of God, and Samuel is, so he is hearing from God, and he is doing and saying the things that God is telling him to do. And back in those days, not everybody could hear from God because we did not have the Spirit of God on the inside as we do today. Luckily, we were able to receive Jesus, praise God, and now we have Him on the inside. So it's easier for us to have that. But back then they had prophets that helped you to do that. You know, they would come in and kind of let you know what God was saying. And the reason I'm turning to 1 Samuel, because this is where it talks about a little guy named David. Now you might know David. David became the king. And David was somebody who was very special. Look at how in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, this is how God is speaking through the prophet Samuel about David. And he says, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." He is saying that David, and that's who he chose, because God was now, this is Samuel is talking to King Saul. King Saul basically is having the throne taken away from him, his kingdom taken away from him, and God is seeking a man after his own heart. And now Samuel's job is to go and anoint with oil the man who is after God's own heart. And so there's something different about David, because that's who gets picked. But now before that, in 1 Samuel 16:6, we have Samuel, the prophet, has gone to the sons of Jesse. And under the sons of Jesse, he's got a lot of sons, and he's looking in there because God has told him, this is where you're going to find this king that's after my own heart. You're going to anoint this boy. And so he looks at the first guy, Eliab, the oldest son of Jesse, and he says, "Ooh, surely the Lord's anointed is before him." He is saying, oh, this has got to be the guy. He's looking at him. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So here, this is how God is looking for the people that he wants. This is how he's looking for David to find him. He is looking at his heart, and he's saying he has a heart, you know, as he said himself, a heart after his own heart. A man after his own heart is what he is saying. And so this is how God is seeing us. Now, sometimes we judge a book by its cover, don't we? We'll sometimes judge somebody just by the appearance that we see on the outside rather than knowing what's in their heart. And that's why it's important to listen to God, give us guidance. If he says there's something about that person and I need your help with that, you've got to look past the physical appearances and really to get into what's really there. And a lot of times, God is seeing their heart. He is seeing their heart is receptive. He is seeing their heart is ready. He is seeing they have a good heart. Maybe they have a crusty exterior, but they have something really good in their heart. And that's what God is leading us to. So don't judge a book by its cover. You've heard that before. But, you know, how many times do we still do it? Remember, God does not see the way that man sees. He's looking at the heart. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I'm glad he's looking at our hearts, because sometimes, you know, you wake up in the morning, your hair's not done, and your makeup's not done, and your clothes are all messed up. But God's not looking at that. He's looking at your heart. He still sees that you're a good person, you have a good heart, and that you have love in it. Now, why is he so special? What is he doing that gives him this, he's a man after God's own heart? Why is he like that? And we can say, we know he wasn't a perfect man. He made mistakes. And we see that, we even read the stories about how he cheated with one of his soldiers, on one of his soldiers with their wife, and ended up killing that soldier, you know. So he's not perfect. He's made mistakes, you know. So that can't be it. And we know he's good with a slingshot, but I'm sure there were other people good with a slingshot too. And, you know, so he did some good things, but there's got to be more to it, because God's not looking at the physical appearance. He's looking at the heart. What sets David apart? And what I really believe sets David apart is he was praising God. He was giving praise to God. From the time he was a small boy and he's out in the pastures with his sheep and there's nobody else around but him and the sheep and the trees and the hills and the grass, David is out there praising God. That means he's not doing it to impress somebody else. He's not doing it to put on some sort of appearance and make himself look important. He's doing it because he has a love for God. And I think there's such a love for God in his heart that he just can't stop but sing about it. He just begins to sing about how great God is. He is singing about how many great things God is doing for him. He's singing about how God's going to deliver him from his enemies, how God is strengthening him, how God has made his hand sure when he's throwing that slingshot. He's singing about how great the trees look, how sunny the day is. He's not singing one of those songs where his sheep have all run off and his truck is stuck in the mud. He's not singing that song. He's singing a song of praise. And because he's praising God, from the time he's a small boy, he is praising God. And he's got his harp with him. That's the equivalent of like electric guitar today. You know, if you had electric guitar and you were just playing that all day long and singing how great God is, you would be like David. That's what I believe really set David apart. Because he was praising God. And he was praising God for everything. He was praising God in all ways at all times. And that was what really made a big difference. Now, Saul, the king before David, he worried about his reputation with the people. How did he look to the people? But David worried about his reputation with God. how would he look to God? As a result, because Saul was only interested in pleasing the people, he could not please God. Sometimes we get into that too, where we're so busy trying to impress people, trying to get people to like us. You know, we want people, you know, people to kind of approve of us, that we're changing everything about ourselves, but we've never looked to see if what we're doing is, you know, impressing God. But David was worried about, or looking towards, wanting to please God. He wanted to please God. It's because he had a heart for God. He had a love for God, and the praise just poured out of him. Now, you can be praising God this way too. Amen. David's not somehow different or more special than you. You can be praising God all the time too. And if you get into that spirit of praising God the way David did, your whole life will change. Now, David wasn't just praising when everything was going good, because David didn't have just an easy life. Oh, it was. You might be sitting there thinking, well, of course David could praise all the time. He was the king. You know, it was easy for him. He never had any problems. But David did have problems, and he had struggles. He had lions and bears that came to try to take his sheep. Still, he praised God. You know, when I gave you this assignment this week to praise God, and those of you that said, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to praise God, oh, it's going to be so good. And probably you started noticing you got challenged right away. Because quite often when you step up to do something incredible, sometimes resistance comes against you. Suddenly you might have got really busy, and when you get too busy, you start getting stressed, and you started forgetting about praising God, because you were worried. Maybe there was a lot of stuff to do, you know, because the holidays were coming and you didn't seem to have enough time, and you started to forget about praising God. Because that can happen when we get stressed out, when we start to worry about things. But David continued to praise God no matter what. He was always singing songs to God. The majority of the Psalms, the book of Psalms, the majority of that was written by David. David was a prolific writer of these songs. I wish we had the music. Could play it on the harp. You know, have a great time. But that's how his heart and his, he just worked. He just was always singing about how great God is. You know, here in 2 Samuel chapter 22, if we go down to verse 22, this song that he sang, it's a prayer of praise of deliverance. And this is, you know, here he gets delivered out of a problem. As I said, David didn't have it all easy. King Saul at one point was chasing after him. He had turned on him and was following him. And there were times where David and his men that were hiding out in caves. They didn't have a lot to eat. You remember the story about David being hungry? He didn't have any food, and he went into the temple and ate the showbread. He ate the sacred holy bread because he was that hungry. So it wasn't all, you know, pineapple blossoms and honeydew raindrops and, you know, all this kind of stuff happening in David's life. There were challenges in his life. The king of the country at that time is after him to kill him and has sent people out to kill him. That would be a little stressful, I think. He's hiding in caves. He's hungry. He's on the run. Sometimes he has to hide with his own enemies to try to get away. That's a little stressful. But I believe that even in that time, David is singing praises to God. David is saying, how great my God is. My God will deliver me out of the hands of my enemy. My God is my shield. My God is my protector. Say amen to this. Because you can be the same way in your life. You don't have to let the situations pile up against you and overcome you. You just have to know praising God will change the situation. Praising God will protect you. Let me go down to this verse I was going to read. So this was in 2 Samuel chapter 22, and I'm looking at verse 22, and it says, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you." That was just one line that I highlighted in there, but here David is saying, There is no God like you. He's saying you are the best God. You are a great God, amazing God. Here down in 26, verse 26, he says, so let your name be magnified forever. So he is just praising God and saying how great he is. This is what you can do also in your life. You don't have to wait till everything's all rosy. In fact, begin to praise right away. When a situation comes against you, begin to praise. I believe that when David was standing there facing Goliath, he was praising God. He was even saying it. See, so many years out there by himself in the wilderness with the sheep, he's been praising God. He is speaking words of faith. They are getting on the inside, and they are so. He is so filled with them, he's got to sing about it. You ever have one of those days where you feel so good, you just got to sing about it? You just can't stop yourself from humming, tapping your foot, you know? You're just like, something's just got in you. But I believe that's the way David was about God. He just couldn't help but sing. It was so full of that goodness. And even as he stands before Goliath, he says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. He's already praising God again. That's his way of doing it. See, he's so filled with it. Goliath, you're going to be delivered into my hands. Why? Because my God is great. Because I am filled. My God protects me. He watches over me. These are all the things that are going on in David's head. He's just a young man. He's not very old yet. He doesn't have armor. He doesn't have swords. He doesn't have training since his childhood. But what he got, he has the Lord God on his side because he is praising him. It has created like a shield around him of the Spirit of God. And that's more powerful than any physical shield. And so Goliath, with his, you know, all of his training and all of his armor and all of that, it's not enough. It's not enough to defeat a man who is praising God. Say amen to that.
Amen.
In your life, it doesn't matter what you come up against. If you're praising God, it will create a shield around you. If you're praising God, it will lift you up to a new level. If you're praising God in the midst of the problems, don't wait till everything is rosy. Praise God right in the midst of it. All the rest of the Israelites were standing back when Goliath was challenging them. Come out and face me. I'm the champion of the Philistines. Who's going to take me on? And their minds were clouded because all they heard day after day is they heard this Philistine, this huge giant, come out and say, I'm going to kill one of you. Who will it be? And in their minds, all that was going around is, this guy's going to kill one of us. This guy's too big for us. This guy has been training since his birth for this moment right now. This is what's going on in their head. They don't have any faith anymore because all they hear the voice of the enemy saying, I'm bigger than you, I'm better than you, and I'm going to defeat you. But here this little boy comes out just to bring the lunch to his brothers. And he's got a strong voice going on in his heart. And it's the voice of praise that's saying, my God is bigger, my God is stronger, my God can deliver me from every single enemy that comes against me. Say amen to that. And now he's got the words of faith and they are flowing out. And whatever this Philistine giant says, it doesn't matter how he looks. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what he's wearing. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. Because all he knows is coming out of his heart is the joy and the love and the power of the Spirit of God. It is upon him and he is anointed with it. And as he comes out to face whatever situation it would be, he will defeat it. Because he is a praiser of God.
Praise God.
Praise God. So in your life, when you come against the giants, you've got to be already rolling with the spirit of praise. Because that's the words that are now flowing out of your mouth and they just come out automatic. My God is bigger. My God is better. My God always protects me, always watches over me, always blesses me, always takes care of me. Man, my God is good. Amen. And this is if you read through the Psalms and start to look at the Psalms that David was writing, this is what he's often saying. He's saying these same things. Here he says in, let me go down here to Psalms 3. This is the third Psalms. Guess what? This is the Psalms of David. And we can go down to the third verse. And here he says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill." Amen.
Amen.
So these are the kind of things that David has been singing about for years. And as he sings, man, a shield is put up around him. Protection is put up around him. You want to see how that works? Check this out. Not only is it changing in his own life, it's changing the situation around other people too. Here we have in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. Now David was asked to come and play the harp before King Saul. This was before King Saul, of course, was chasing him and trying to kill him. You know, he had seen this guy in action and said, "Hey, bring this guy over here." And the problem was is that King Saul had a distressing spirit. There was a spirit with King Saul tormenting him and making him sick. Why? Because he's not praising God. He's busy worried about what the people are thinking. And as a result of that, he's wide open to all kinds of spiritual attacks. But now, David comes in. David would take the harp and play it with his hand, and then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So here David would come with the harp. What's he doing? He's praising God. He starts to play the harp. He's singing how great God is. And the minute the spirit of praise begins to flow out into that room, into that tent, wherever they are, the distressing spirit can't stay on King Saul. King Saul might not be in right alignment, but the distressing spirit or any spirit of darkness cannot stay in the presence of praise.
Amen.
You start to bring praise and they will flee from you. They will flee. Every sickness will flee from you. Every falsity will flee from you. Every darkness will flee from you when you are praising God.
Amen.
This is what David was doing. He's just giving great praise to God. If we go down into Psalms 9, we read again. Guess what? This is a psalm of David. And here he says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works." Man, my God is good. How good is my God? He is great God. He's marvelous works. "And I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High."
Amen.
Woo! As I read that, I feel refreshed. It's like I can take a deeper breath. It's like something, a calmness just comes over me. David is just letting the goodness of God just praise out of him all the time. It didn't matter whether he was hungry. It didn't matter whether he was facing giants or he was facing lions. It didn't matter that the king of the country was chasing him. He's praising God. And because he's praising God, he is being delivered time and time and time again. He is delivered out of the hands of the enemy. He is delivered out of those who are trying to do something behind his back. He is always being delivered all the time in all ways because he's praising God. This is why I'm saying to you guys, go out into the world, begin to develop the habit of praising. Make it your day from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. Start to praise God. And I'm not saying there's not going to be situations or times when you're challenged. But we can see David can praise God in all those times and even worse times than anything we've faced. So we can praise God too. And when we do, they will flee from us. The problems will flee from us the same way this distressing spirit fled from Saul. When we can praise God, the darkness will flee from us. And what happens is now the blessing of God begins to come upon us. The blessing of God came upon David because he was a man after God's own heart. He now gets anointed to be king. He overcomes those challenges by praising God and saying how great he is. And he is lifted up and put upon the throne that now he has become king. He has raised up from a small boy in a field, just a shepherd out there in the middle of nowhere, to a throne, to a mighty kingdom. And his kingdom grew and became strong. Why? Because he was praising God. It's not that he was perfect. As I said, he made mistakes. He did things that were not perfect. But because he had such a praise and a love for God, all of that was changed. All of that was corrected. And he reached his highest potential. He reached to the highest levels. You can reach to the highest levels in your life too. God has a great plan for you in your life. It doesn't matter if you just feel like a small, insignificant person in the middle of nowhere, because that's what David was like when he first was out there. But God can take you from out there and bring you in here. And he can not only bring you in here, he can bring you up there. And when he takes you up there, which is up there with God, now you are anointed with the Spirit of God. And all of the blessings of heaven are poured out upon you. He wants to take you from out there in the wilderness and bring you up there where you are now filled with riches and blessing and health and strength and goodness. He wants that for you. Say, I want that.
I want that.
How do you get it? You praise God. You just say how great God is. And if you can't come up with the words, go and see what David said. That what I'd ask you to do is just go through the book of Psalms this week. Read about it. Start to get those words in. Because maybe you got out of practice and you're speaking the wrong things. That's okay. We can retrain you. God will retrain you when his Spirit comes upon you. And you're reading the book of Psalms. You're reading those Psalms of David. You'll start to get the words in. You'll start to say things like this. In Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now that's interesting. He's leading me in the path of righteousness, not for me, but for his name's sake, because he made promises, and to fulfill those promises, he's going to lift me up into that place of righteousness to fulfill his promise. Let's go on. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Forever.
Amen. Guess what? This is a Psalm of David. You might not have known that. But this is David pouring out the love and the praise for God. This is why he is a man after God's own heart. Because he is filled with a love for God and he is pouring that out. He can't help but sing about how great God is. And God is great whether David is facing situations that are difficult or not. Or David is receiving blessings from God. He is still singing about how great God is. He will deliver me from my enemies. So even in the midst where it feels like the enemies are on top of you, David is singing, I am going to be delivered from this.
Amen.
Because I have a great God.
If
you go out there and begin to sing about the greatness of God, he will bring you from out there in the wilderness up into his presence. And you'll be receiving the blessings and the wonders and the miracles that God planned for you in all ways. All you need to do is start to praise God. Make it a practice of praising God. Get these words that David has been writing and pouring out in the book of Psalms and say them and say them again and say them again until they become so natural that the only thing you can do is praise God and say how good He is here in Psalm 16. My goodness is nothing apart from you, God. This is David again, a Psalm of David. Say amen to that.
Amen.